Good morning, friends, and welcome. Welcome back to X's and Bros here on the Michigan Sports Network. Our patrons, Danica Halen and Ryan Elke, in the Motor City Clubhouse. I'm Anthony Bellino, coming to you from a bunker on 17. We welcome you here for a Thursday edition, opening round of the Masters. You hear that music in the background. It's that time of year, folks. I know last year threw us a curveball. I know it robbed us of our fun. It robbed us of a tradition unlike any other. But we're back, and we have another tradition unlike any other here on X's and Bros. Joining us now on the Meyer Supercenter guest line, resident clubhouse professional, Justin Cruz. Find him on Twitter at CoilsWell. Justin, my friend, it's great to have you on. Welcome. It's Thursday at Augusta.
It's an honor to be here, buddy. It feels like we just did this. Like you said, the November Masters threw us off from our usual rite of spring passage preview, but we'll adjust, we'll adapt, and hopefully we'll offer some insight here before the greatest weekend in golf.
Let's be honest. The year 2020 was a shank, so now it's all about the recovery, right? Everybody's just trying to recover because that was just a shank off the tee, my friend. This is what Augusta is supposed to be. Let's get to the headliner of the event that will not be there. Tiger Woods, a Masters without Tiger. This is a rarity. This isn't something that happens very often, and it will feel a little empty without the little Sunday Tiger red on Sunday at Augusta.
Yeah, no Tiger at the Champions Dinner, no Tiger on the pairing sheet. So it's a little disappointing for folks our age that have grown up and lived vicariously in the great Tiger era. But there is a lot of depth of talent, a lot of guys that have a chance to win, a lot of guys that have a chance to contend. And, you know, Tiger will be missed, but the show must go on.
The show must go on, and we were discussing this a little bit yesterday, and wouldn't you know, it's Ryan in the studio comes out with a, I want Jon Rahm, guy just had a kid, he's got the mojo, the juice, he's got it all working for him, this is his year, all because his wife, now he didn't have a kid, his wife had a kid, you know, he was probably good for what, 5-10 minutes? No, I'm teasing, but his wife did all the work. I mean, she was the one carrying that thing around for 9 months, and you know, he shows up at the hospital, and he was ready to leave Augusta, if necessary, to get back to his wife if she was going to end up delivering this weekend, but the baby is here, and all is well, according to reports, so that's a positive. Do you think that a child born will give Jon Rahm the mojo needed to win the Masters this year?
Listen, I promised myself that I wasn't going to pick Jon Rahm. You always are. You frown upon my Jon Rahm pick for every major, every year, and he's over. So I wasn't going to talk about Jon Rahm, and the first guy you bring up is Jon Rahm. Do I believe Jon Rahm can win? Absolutely. Is he ready to win a major? Absolutely. Will this be his week? It's hard telling. I think two things are going to happen, and these are both totally contradictory. Either he is going to play great, and people are going to say that having the child gave him perspective, relaxed him, brought out a new Jon Rahm, and the fiery Spaniard, you know, was calmed and cool and collected, and like many other great Spaniards, like Olazabal and Seve, finally wins his major and wins his green jacket, and that'll be a great story. Or come Sunday, he'll finish 37th place, he'll run or fly. None of these tour pros run anywhere. They'll call net jets and they'll fly home, and he'll be with his family by the time they put the green jacket on the eventual winner. So either way, I'm not sure. I, you know, am not picking Jon Rahm per se, as I have invested heavily in Jon Rahm over the last several years that we've done this with negative returns on investment. So I am not investing in Jon Rahm, but nothing that happens to him this week will surprise me.
Is it too much? You know, Jordan Spieth, the 2015 Masters champion, finally finding his game a little bit at the Valero last weekend after struggling much of basically the last, you know, three seasons. He's been tough. He finished tied for 15th or better in six of his previous seven tour starts, including four top fives. Even during those struggles, Augusta National was one of those places that he was actually really good at. He tied for second in 2016 and was a solo third in 2018. Are we putting too much stock into Jordan Spieth coming off of winning the Valero last weekend?
I really liked Jordan heading into last week. I think it's funny that does him winning change how you feel about a player. They say it's tough to win. Still, Mickelson's the last guy to win before the Masters and then win the Masters. And that goes all the way back to the old Bell South tournament that used to be played in Atlanta. I don't think that Spieth winning last week has any true effect on him. I think maybe he comes in and feels a little bit of house money. He hadn't won since Birkdale in 2017 at the Open Championship. He now has the win under his belt. His game is trending, and he's going to a place that he's won, and as you mentioned, has contended before. So I think Jordan Spieth is, you know, he's along with DJ is the co-betting favorite, depending at what Michigan sports book you're operating at these days. But, you know, the odds have come a long way. I mean, on Super Bowl Sunday or that weekend, you know, Jordan Spieth was available pretty much everywhere at 50-1 to win this week. And I know plenty of people that hopped on that. I hopped on a little later. I can't say I have a 50-1 ticket, but I am holding a couple very juicy Jordan Spieth tickets, and I am optimistic about his performance this week.
Wow, you're just on the ball. You know, you're already plugging the sponsors, whether they want to go to Twin Spires or they're hanging out with Shep over at BetMGM. Look at this guy, Justin Cruz. He's all over it. Resident golf professional here at the X's and Bros Country Club. What about a guy like Rory McIlroy? What if I told you that it's a decade after he blew that 4-shot lead in the final round? A decade since he's done that at Augusta. He did finish in the top 10 in 6 of his previous 7 Masters starts. He's a former world number one. You know he's got the game. He's obviously changed his physique a little bit since that 4-shot squandered lead a decade ago. What do you make of Rory trying to make a run to search for that green jacket to complete his career Grand Slam?
I have a lot of concerns about Rory. I mean, he admitted a few weeks ago that after playing with Bryson DeChambeau and what happened at Wingfoot, that he tried to chase some speed and chase some distance and has lost his driver a little bit, and his performance is the last, you know, really almost since the COVID restart in June of 2020 have left a lot to be desired. I think there's a lot of immense pressure on Rory. This is, you know, approaching what, the 7th or 8th time he's gone for the career Grand Slam. He finished, you know, top 10 last year, but, you know, started off with a 75, was never really in contention, and then kind of brought it back to make the cut and kind of have the proverbial, you know, Tiger was famous for the backdoor top 10, and that's kind of what Rory did last year. You know, you look at the stat sheet and you see, oh, a top 10 finish, and it's really kind of a hollow top 10, Anthony, because in reality, for a guy like that, he never contended. And I just don't see Rory all of a sudden putting it together on a golf course, which by all accounts is firmer and faster than it has been in years, that today is, or this week is the week for him. I just think there's too much competition. There's too many guys in better form. As much as I personally would like to see Rory win, he is on my fade list this week.
Fade Rory McIlroy. You heard the man. Justin Cruz joining us. Bryson DeChambeau, you had mentioned him. That's a pretty good segue right there. He kind of suggested last year in going into the fall that he was going to play Augusta National as a par 67. And then he came out and tied for 34th in November. And I just thought with the blatant disrespect, like, oh, I hit it so far, no course can stop me, hardy har har. To be honest with you, it was a big turnoff for me. And I was like, you know what? The hell with this guy. I hope he finishes dead last. But he finished tied for 34th. He did lead in the field in driving distance at 324.4 yards. But he made too many mistakes. And it's the age-old adage of drive for show, putt for dough. Augusta's tight. You can't make mistakes at that course. It's fast as hell. What your take on Bryson? I'm slowly but surely falling off of the Bryson train.
I think I would say the same. I was a big proponent of Bryson and a big fan of his when he kind of came back after the restart. You know, quickly won there in Detroit at Rocket Mortgage, and then followed up with the U.S. Open and then one recently at Bay Hill. I mean, the guy is a flat winner. You can't dispute that. I mean, he's got 10 tour wins already. He's got a major and he's, you know, 27 years old. But he leaves a lot to be desired in some of his antics, some of the off the golf course stuff, and then just some of the things he says. I think the Augusta National Golf Club does not allow the greens reading books that every other tour stop does. That's where you'll see a guy at Bay Hill and he's standing over a 5-footer and the book pretty much tells them, you know, the slope direction and where the ball is going to go. And Bryson, as an analytical individual, relies very heavily on the greens reading book. Now, so is Dustin Johnson. Now look at Dustin Johnson was able to win last fall. I think without the greens reading book and some of the pressure based on things that he said, I think Bryson will be better prepared than he was in the fall and probably show better than he did in the fall. But I think asking Bryson to win against this field will be a tall order. But I do suspect that Bryson will perform better than he did in November.
You know, and you, I just think the golf gods, I don't think they allow that kind of speech at the hallowed grounds of Augusta National, my friend. I don't think that they are cool with that, and for lack of a better way to put it. You mentioned DJ, the reigning Masters champion, set the 72-hole scoring record 20 under. He won by 5 strokes this past fall in November. He attempts to become the first back-to-back winner since Tiger Woods did it back in 01 and 02. DJ, man, seems like he's got life all figured out, and he's playing pretty good golf, and it'd be tough not to throw a ticket on him.
Yeah, I think with DJ, he's so talented. He contends, you know, effortlessly. He is always, when he is motivated and he is playing reasonably well, you can never count him out because his talent level is just so supremely high. I think it's tough being the defending champ, but you know, he's only had to be the defending champ for about 6 months. He hasn't had to sit on it for a year. He hasn't had to go through some of the pop and circumstance for an entire calendar year of other guys. And I think that maybe favors him a little bit. I also think, Anthony, that DJ doesn't care. He doesn't get nervous. His demeanor on the golf course shows that he doesn't care. I don't think his performance this week will be any different had he finished, you know, first in November or had he finished 50th. I think he is just wired that way, and he will have a game plan to attack the golf course. Now, I'm very confident in saying I do not believe 20 under par will win. I think in November it was soft, it was wet, and I don't think the hallowed green coats that we like to talk about, I don't think they'll allow it. I think we're looking at a 10 to 12 under par winning score, and that's kind of where they want to keep it.
Justin Cruz joining us. He played his collegiate golf at Miami University. He's the resident club pro here at the X's and Bros Country Club. When we talk golf, we talk majors, and guess what? It's 2021, so new year, who dis, as the kids say. The patrons are back, my man. The Masters. You know, they're not going to say, right? The club won't say exactly how many patrons are going to be on the actual grounds this week, but there will be fans in the proverbial stands at the Masters this year. How much do you think that affected players in November, and how much of a role do you think it plays for guys this time around for this Masters?
I think November really becomes an outlier. I think there's a lot of stats and metrics that you look at that, you know, guys that played really well in November that have never shown that form traditionally, you know, in the spring. I'm not taking away from Dustin Johnson winning the golf tournament. He blew the field away. He deserved to win. But, you know, I think the experienced player, the guy that's got a few rounds and a few events, maybe contended in the past in April, will definitely have an advantage. This will feel a lot more normal and a lot more of a regular Masters, even if they don't have the packed crowds that they're traditionally have at Amen Corner or on 16. This is going to feel like a normal Masters, and I think that's why, you know, we're going to see, you know, a very worthy champion.
Justin Cruz, do you have a surprise pick for us? Maybe not somebody who wins it outright, but maybe somebody who kind of shocks the field by showing up late on Sunday and has one of those, you know, last couple of tee times?
I mean, I'll leave you with a couple stats and thoughts because everybody always looks to, you know, who's a long shot? Who can I bet at 100-1 or, you know, 50-1? You know, 18 of the last 20 Masters have been won by guys ranked in the top 30 in the world. And people bring up like, oh, Danny Willett a few years ago, he, you know, came out of nowhere to win. And that's true, but Danny Willett was ranked 12th in the world. You know, he wasn't a popular American player or well-regarded player, but he was still a very accomplished golfer. The other interesting fact, and I don't know why this is, but 8 out of the last 10 champions have teed off in the afternoon on Thursday and in the morning wave on Friday. So, if we're going to play the numbers game and we're going to look at, okay, who's ranked in the top 30 in the world, who's in pretty good form, and who is teeing off in the afternoon on Thursday and in the morning on Friday, you know, one guy that jumps out to me that fits a lot of those narratives is Patrick Cantlay. The guy's won. He's a young, up-and-coming American. He's contended here a couple years ago. He actually took the lead standing on the 16th tee before faltering. He's a guy that's widely available in the 20 to 25 to 1 range. I think Cantley's a guy that's worth a look. Another long shot longer shot that's top 30 in the world that I kind of like also is Paul Casey. He's a veteran that's got a lot of experience around Augusta that if it is playing difficult, I think he's a guy that, you know, could sneak in there. And there's another guy that you're seeing at, you know, 33, 35 to 1. So, you know, ultimately, Anthony, I think one of the big dogs wins. I think, you know, a Justin Thomas or a Jordan Spieth probably wins the golf tournament. But, you know, what fun is betting a guy at 9 to 1?
He is Justin Cruz, resident professional, our clubhouse pro at the X's and Bros Country Club. Justin, my friend, thank you so much for your time as always. Always a pleasure to have you on. Some great stats and facts and numbers there for our betting folks and for fans that just want to watch and might not have any action on it. I hope they all get to enjoy a wonderful weekend at Augusta. Thanks again, Justin.
Hey, no problem, buddy. Always good to talk to you and have a wonderful weekend.